say that Claremont-based Australian gifted families coach, if you don't mind, Ellen D. Thompson, hosting this very important event, which I'll give you more details about, coming up in Sorrento Monday. I think it's Monday, May the 8th. He's online. Ellen, thank you for talking to us on 6PR tonight.
Thanks, Tony.
Tell us about the notion at the outset, if you will, about the idea of gifted children. I mean, I think a lot of parents, would they not, probably say at some point, oh, it's a special child, very special child.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And there's a lot of them. There's absolutely a lot of them. I opened this latest children's book with the quote from a lot of gifted psychologists and researchers that giftedness can be as common as one in five just for one specific domain. So in actual fact, if you're looking at giftedness across domains, so things like running and sport or reading or maths or what have you, chess and music, it goes on and on and on, you'll find that there's probably more than half of people in the world that have giftedness in one form or another.
In one form or another.
Absolutely right.
But presumably, Alan, not always sufficiently nurtured.
Absolutely, yeah. And look, this is part of my passion, is helping these parents and these children, of course, find out what their passion is, find out what they're capable of, and allowing them to open that up.
Based on the minimal amount of reading that I've done on the subject, it seems to me that, if there is a gifted child in the family, it's not always an easy ride.
No, for sure, for sure. And look, some people put that in even stronger terms, that it can seem like a burden. I don't see it that way, but certainly unless you're giving the right amount of support and nurturing in a very specific way, probably similar that you would do for the bottom 10% or the bottom 2%, depending on which metric you're using, Tony. And those guys need very specific, often physical support or physical allowances. And the same way, we need those for the top 10% and the top 2% as well. So there's certainly stuff that we can look at for parents in terms of how they can provide those specific levels of support for the gifted.
Alan, is it all about parents, or is it more environmental than just, say, mum and or dad?
For sure. And the school's coming to it as well. There's every single thing that the child touches, every single thing that they're around, and you're right in terms of environment, is able to be touched and nurtured in a way that will help them grow, that will help them reveal their strengths and passions. And that's right the way through. You know, they're going to spend 7 or 8 hours at school. They're probably going to spend even longer than that at home with the family and with the parents. So that's where I look first, and that's where I make sure that we're putting the right provisions in place.
There's, coincidentally, even before I knew that we were talking to you on this on 6PR tonight, a mutual friend said there his grandchildren have been booked into a well-known school in Melbourne that should be remaining nameless, pre-primary. And so his children are paying $17,000 a year for pre-primary.
Mm-hmm.
And the argument presumably is that $17,000 well spent?
That's a much longer conversation.
I'll bet it is.
And there are schools like that all over, Tony. You've got some of the private schools, very prestigious private schools, both here in Perth and all the way around Australia, that will charge that and beyond. And it's really about choosing, in my view, it's about choosing the right principal or right administration and teachers where the child feels comfortable. Not about the brand name, not even about their teaching method in most cases. It's about the people that they're around and, again, that environment that they're in, just getting that right.
And yet the reason I put that to you is you get the sense that a lot of parents are hoping that in that very expensive school environment, there's a better chance of any giftedness being brought forward.
Yeah, for sure. And look, that's something that can be nurtured in a way. Certainly giftedness can't be created. You can't go and raise your IQ any of the research that I've looked at.
You can't invent it.
You can't invent it, and you can't kind of force it. You can't hothouse it. We did a fantastic series with GE, General Electric, a few months ago called Decoding Genius at decodinggenius.com. And that really was about how we could go and look at how this genius is raised. Again, not from being forced to do it, but it's innate. It's already there from a combination of environment and nurturing. But how do we kind of funnel that all the way through and help them continue to be the best they can be, not to use a cliche, but...
Helen, we'll talk about the seminar in just a moment, but can I talk to you a little bit about sport?
Sure, go ahead.
Because I'm fascinated by that. Some years ago, the great Mr. Newman from Jeff Newman from Channel 7 in those days, mm-hmm. and a couple of others, and we were travelling through outback Western Australia and into the Northern Territory. And one of the things that we all noticed was all part of a fundraiser for Telethon. And one of the things we all noticed is we went into the communities, how agile, how amazing the young Indigenous children were in terms of their potential sporting prowess. Now, we've seen that certainly in footy, in AFL football, and we've seen that certainly over many, many years. But I wonder how much of it is just a natural inclination to some youngsters.
Isn't it fascinating? Absolutely.
It's amazing. We were yeah. aghast at the enormous talent, some of which sadly for, and we could do a whole program on that, but sadly some of it gets lost maybe through teenage years for lots of reasons. However, the very early incarnations of 7, 8, 9 year olds is quite extraordinary.
And in Australia, I think, and also Europe, I think, it's very much valued. And this is part of the... talents and skills that we look at in this kind of coaching. Even though my specialty is in cognitive giftedness, it's amazing to see how Australia in particular holds up this level of sporting ability, of sporting giftedness as well. And if you go to New Zealand, some of the Maori culture there has a definition of giftedness that can include things like cooking. So it's a very, very broad definition. I'm glad you brought up sporting because it's also a very visible definition of giftedness and visible at very young ages. So that must have been quite a thing to see.
Given everything that we've heard in the last few days, say from Prince Harry, have you touched on, have you noticed the link between any sense of giftedness or children that are just a little bit special for a range of reasons and mental health?
Look, there's been a little bit of research on that, mostly through Dr. Linda Silverman in the US, who is a clinical psychologist, and she's touched on it. There doesn't seem to be any link between, say, high ability in the cognitive domain, so very, very smart in the top 2% or beyond, and any sort of mental illness, including neurodevelopmental disorders or learning disabilities. There is a very, very similar mapping in the gifted domain as in the general population, which is to say about 10 and 20%.
Just going back to that school situation, I remember the nuns... in those days, wrote a letter home to Mum, which she kept to her dying day, would occasionally show me, where it said, Anthony will pretty much amount to nothing.
That's rough.
they were the things, I just want to clarify, that was not, in a sense, that unusual, because the assertion may have been that I was an underachiever.
Yeah, look, I hope that our teachers don't speak like that to students these days.
You would hope so.
I'm sorry for that experience. In my seminars, I do talk about a quote from a very famous violin teacher over in the US. She taught at the Juilliard Academy there, and she used to say, children become what you tell them they are.
Yes.
And linked into her research is another coach or colleague of mine who says that he's gone and done a bit of surveying and researching of these high-ability children that have become adults and found that common amongst all of them was that they had someone who supported them along the way, someone who told them what they could be. And I'm not saying that that can't be offset with someone saying, look, you can't be this or you'll amount to nothing. And sometimes that's a nice challenge for the child to go, I'll show you, I'll get around that. But that has always been someone that's loved them in the simplest possible terms. There's someone that's been caring about where they're going and supportive about where they're going. And I hope you got that same thing, Tony.
Yeah, well, fortunately we did, but not necessarily from those early primary years. We could talk all night about it. It is fascinating. If you would like to know more about this seminar, what would be in it for people who are attending, Alan?
Oh, this is going to be a lot of fun. We're going to talk about brightness, but not just brightness, because giftedness can be a little bit tedious. Everyone likes talking about it. We're going to talk about the power that comes behind high ability children. So not just that they've got these expanded or advanced brains, or that they're very good at sport or very good in another skill. It's really about giving them the persistence, resilience, confidence to be able to bring that out into the world. So it's going to be a focus on practical tools and tips for the power behind these high-ability children. We're also going to have a special guest, a little 12-year-old girl who's a Yale World Scholar, who's going to be talking to us about her experience as well. So I'm looking forward to that.
It is. It's all happening Monday the 8th, Sorrento, I think, up at the college there, isn't it?
That's right, yeah, Sacred Heart College, yep. A beautiful performing arts centre. I don't know if you've seen it. It's an amazing room.
No, I haven't, but I'll take your word for it. I bet it's beautiful. I think tickets are $25. I hope I've got all this right. If you want to know more, you can have a look at lifearchitect.com.au.
That's the one.
Lifearchitect.com.au. Head to stickytickets.com.au. Tickets are $25. Doors open at 6:30, and it will be a fascinating night. Great to talk to you, L&D Thompson.
You too, Tony. Thanks so much.